Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. And now here is Stephen Stone.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. Welcome into yet another edition of Straight Talk, where we broadcast live from Substation 2 in Cherry Road across from Winthrop University. As always, brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, here with Founders. Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Good Pharmacy's with us today. Your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And, of course, as always, Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. Find out more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Joining us today is the executive director of the Early Learning Partnership of York County, Teresa Creech. It's been a while since I've seen you, and may have been a while since you were on the program here. And as always, because we were talking about all the growth to York County and such, maybe a reintroduction of Teresa Creech would be in order, ma'am.
Oh, well, that's great. Thank you for having me today. And as you mentioned, I'm the executive director of the Early Learning Partnership of York County. We are a 501c3 nonprofit registered to serve all of York County. And our focus is on school readiness. We're wanting to get children birth to age 5 and their families interested in the pre-emergent literacy skills. So, you know, working with your children from birth, even before birth, actually, interacting with them. We want you to help grow their vocabulary by talking with them. But we also want to make sure that you're bonding and growing those emotional skills within your family. So we do that with a variety of early literacy programs throughout the county.
That's a pretty tall task you have there before you.
Well, you know, growing brains in children, it's important, right?
Yes. Absolutely, yes, ma'am. Let's talk a little bit about that. The pandemic has obviously affected businesses and schools and everything. How has it reached you guys?
Yeah, well, the pandemic has affected everything. One reason that I think ELP, that we're so important, is because a lot of children who are school-aged were, forced to stay at home for a while, right? And that instruction doesn't come just from teachers in the school districts. It's really important that we as caregivers, as parents, as grandparents, that we interact with children, you know, from the minute they're born, to grow those synapses in the brain. And the pandemic really put a focus on that. We've got, you know, second graders that really haven't been in full-time school, some of them for, you know, since they started going to school.
How effective has this e-learning business been? I mean, especially at that young age.
Yeah, it's really difficult. When you're talking about our population, that preschool population, so much of what's important about learning at that age is the touch and, you know, talking face-to-face, the tone of your voice, the facial expressions that you make. And a lot of that's really difficult to do online. And as we know, sometimes children, young children, kind of have ants in their pants, right? It's hard to make them sit still to look at a screen, because that's why, you know, we say play is a child's work, and so much of the work that you do to build a child's brain is really focused around play and growing, just really growing connections with that child.
Such as contact with other children of
exactly.
that age, you know.
Exactly. You know, you'll talk to businesses and they want to hire someone, and you'll talk about their competencies, like what is it, the skill they have. But you talk about soft skills, things like being able to have a conversation, shake a hand, look someone in the eye, make sentences, understand nuances of conversation. Those things are soft skills that are really learned and taught in the very early years of life. So we talk about the academic readiness, but we're also talking about just that social-emotional learning piece.
Tell me about WEE Read.
We Read, yes.
We Read.
That's a program that we have in the NICU, the Neonatal Intensive Care Unit at Piedmont Medical Center. And what we do is we encourage, the nurses encourage families to read and talk and bond with their child. We give them a baby blanket with a children's board book, and it's their first book, first reader. Parents are often really afraid of their babies when they're in the NICU because they're usually premature, they're tiny. And the best thing you can do is to touch that child and, you know, stroke their little arm, mm-hmm. or hold on to them and snuggle with them. And then just talk and read, because they're going to know your voice, right? They've been listening since they were in utero. And the calming, trusting effect that creates, that connection to the parent. So that little program is something that, you know, if a parent takes time to do that sitting in the NICU, it really will pay dividends in the future.
It's interesting that you mentioned that, because talking about grandchildren earlier, and the youngest one is about 2 months and is already responding to voices,
yeah.
in particular mine, which well, I can't imagine
no
why.
No bragging there or anything.
No, it really struck me, because, you know, they do a lot of sleeping, as you know, when they're born, you know, obviously.
Right.
And this guy's only a couple of months old here, but when the eyes are open and he's being fawned over by, you know, Mamaw and the other, you know, Mom and that sort of thing. But then when I, you know, started to speak, I had his attention. It was really kind of surreal experience to me that this little two-month-old guy, you know, just like, what?
Exactly. And that's it. You know, children don't start learning when they go to school, right?
Yeah.
They are learning in the womb, and the minute they're born, that is about 85% of a child's brain is developed in the first 18 months of life.
Yeah. I felt bad that I didn't say something important or, you know, but I mean, I just remember his eyes just locked on me there, and I was like,
yeah, well, that's another good point, you know? Right? It doesn't really matter what you say. It's not the words that you're using as much as it is the fact that every time you say a word, it's just making another connection, the neural connection in the brain. So it just continues to grow. And it's, you know, it's like a sponge, right? You take a sponge and it's dry.
Right.
And you put a little water in and a little bit more and a little bit more, and then it's just saturated. And that's how a baby's brain is, a child's brain. The more you put in, the more it just soaks up.
It was really an incredible experience to me there when that happened. I just thought, my God, you know, and I just now when you were talking about this, I thought, that's what it is. You know, never been known to be the sharpest knife in the drawer, but eventually I do catch on. Tell me about Reach Out and Read. Is that a little bit more advanced beyond the neonatal thing?
Exactly. And that is our largest program. Last year we reached over 20,000, gave away over 20,000 books.
Wow.
So that is probably over 10,000 children it impacts. And that is a program that's it's a national program, and it's evidence-based. So we do know that it works. We have research that tells us that it works. It is in 11 pediatric practices throughout York County. So when you take your child to their pediatrician for their well visit, and in South Carolina, before you go to school, you will have 13 well visits. And at those visits, the pediatricians, we've trained them to use Reach Out and Read or use a book as a basically a diagnostic tool, as well as a way to prescribe reading and making those connections with your child. So usually parents are pretty interested in what their pediatrician has to say, because, you know, I didn't get an instruction book when I had my children, and I'm pretty sure they didn't either.
Right.
It's a hard job being a parent, especially a new parent. So when the pediatrician says to them, it's a good idea to talk to your baby, or use this book and read, and you know, we get kind of bored sometimes as parents reading the same book over and over. Because once they get to about two or three, they get those favorite books.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they want you to read them over and over. But research tells us that that's okay. Like, that is still, they're growing, they're learning routine, and the brain's still growing from that. So the more you can talk, just talk, read, make up stories. If it's not the exact story in the book, just point out the colors on the page. We're exposing them to words.
Okay. Yeah, so I see, I'm in my mid-60s. I can remember the original favorite book from childhood. And I'm in my mid-60s now. I mean, of all the things to remember, right? But Curious George. Yeah, classic.
It's a classic.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. But that was mine.
And I bet most of your listeners, if they were in an environment where a caregiver or a parent read to them, I bet they can say, oh my gosh, I loved this book.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
I bet they have a good memory associated with that. And that's another piece of that social emotional, that bonding. Because when you make a memory like that, it's a positive memory, and that makes learning fun, and then that makes the brain just want more, right?
Yeah.
So it's using books, reading, is a good self-regulation tool as we get older, right? As an adult, sometimes just take time out with a book, and it makes everything else stressful go away for a little while.
Yeah, it wasn't until later years as a young adult and middle age and stuff that reading really, I started to really get into reading and just would read everything, literally, just, you know, it wasn't like I felt I'd missed something, but it just suddenly I became interested.
Right.
And I just started reading anything I could get my hands on, and I have all kinds of useless information running around in my head now from all these things that I've read, but, you know, it can be fun at parties and things where you dazzle your friends. Tell me about loads of literacy. When I hear the word loads, I think laundry, and that's kind of what this is.
Yes, exactly. So the pandemic affected a lot of people that they couldn't get out of their houses, really, and do a lot of regular activities. And if they weren't going to school, there are a lot of folks that don't have print-rich materials in their home. So we tried to come up with a program, a way that we could get books into people's hands that maybe are in what we call book deserts. You've heard of food deserts, areas mm-hmm. where they don't have a lot of food choices.
Sure.
Well, a book desert can be the same thing. And so in local area laundromats around York County, we have a program in conjunction with the Junior Welfare League where they will deliver books. We will get laundry baskets loaded up with books, and then we have some bookshelves in various laundromats. And they will take them and deliver them. And then sometimes the York County Library will give us a piece of, like a craft or some fun activity that they can take and do there. We were hoping to have story time on and that type thing and have volunteer readers. But, you know, due to the pandemic, we had to cut that back. But we take these books to the laundromats, and families can take them home while they're there. They can read to their children because you're kind of waiting, right? You put a load of laundry in.
Yeah, it's going to be a while.
Right? And then you got to put it in the dryer, and you've got some free time. And so we're just trying to encourage families once again, exposure to books, and they can take a book home with them. They're free. Take a book home. Come back the next time, trade it out, or take another one home.
All right, let me ask you this, because you're a C3 nonprofit, 501c3 nonprofit.
Mm-hmm, we are.
How are you financed? I mean, government grants or?
Always a good question, right?
Yeah, because you're doing so many things and you're giving away all these, and books are not cheap, okay? These are not inexpensive items here.
Right, especially now.
That you, well, yeah, all the more so now, because now, you know, we were talking before we came to air about the supply chain and all this sort of stuff going on, and the price of paper and wood and all, and it's all connected.
Correct.
And it has literally impacted every aspect of our lives, even the stuff that you don't think of. It's had an impact on that, you know.
Exactly.
More so than SARS or anything else that we've ever seen in our lifetime. This was the big one, you know.
Yes.
COVID.
Yes. It's the one we talk about every day.
Exactly.
Well, we're funded. Fortunately, we have a pretty good balance of funding. We have individuals that donate. We have organizations like Rotary Clubs and, you know, that type thing, book clubs. We have local area businesses who are great to us. We have so many good business partners. And then we also do write grants. I write grants to foundations. So we are not dependent on any government financing. I will say we were able to take advantage of some of the PPP funds that came out. During, you know, the Rescue Plan, the Rescue Act.
Right.
Because we were shut down for quite a while. But books themselves, you know, they're a very inexpensive item to purchase when you're talking about prevention, right? When you are looking at school readiness and you are trying to impact the most children and you have a trained pediatrician or folks within the school district or trained volunteers that know that early literacy is the one thing that will be the best investment for future, you know, economic well-being of a person.
How long has this sort of program been going on? Because all I was ever aware of was preschool, kindergarten, and then you're into it, you know?
Right. Well, so we've existed since 1998.
Okay.
And we're a little different. We are not a direct service provider. Everything we do is in collaboration with other established groups. So that could be that, you know.
I'll bet they're glad to have you, though, based on all these things that you're doing. And if not, they should be.
Right, because we're paying for the program. Exactly. All the programs, all the books, all of the work that we're doing is helping facilitate. So in these pediatric practices, they love us, right? Because we're providing a service that their clients really like. But at the same time, a doctor can use a book and use that as a diagnostic tool, and say, you know, and you can tell if a child's maybe doesn't know that you read from left to right,
right,
or doesn't hold the book in the right, is upside down, or, you know, they can use that to help diagnose. There are so many uses for the book. It is not just...
Other than just reading it?
Other than just reading it, yes. It is just such an inexpensive tool to help develop children's brains, to grow brains.
We're back to where we began at the beginning, the brain-growing business. Teresa Creech is with us this afternoon. We're going to take our mid-program break. This is the high point for her. She told me this is why she comes back on the show continually, that we're going to get to in just a second. She is the executive director of the Early Learning Partnership of York County. Straight Talk brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Now, they make fresh subs and salads right before your very eyes here. They do it 6 days a week at Substation 2 on Cherry Road. And the magical way they do it, as Teresa will tell you, is
slice, 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 slice,
garden, garden, garden. Back after this.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
I like the lunch special pricing.
I like the bread, good prices, and location.
Man, it's just utterly delicious.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
When your health needs attention, you'll find compassionate care at Piedmont Medical Center. We make it convenient to treat emergencies with online check-in at locations in Rock Hill and Fort Mill. Or if you live with a heart condition, our cardiologists provide advanced treatment options to help you live better. And for pain that slows you down, a minimally invasive surgery can help speed you on to recovery. We are your community built on care.
PiedmontMedicalCenter.com.
Water, fire, mold, and storms cause property damage every day. When it happens to you, it's no time for second best. That's why insurance professionals trust the locally owned and family-run Paul Davis Restoration of Rock Hill. This is Gina Rogers. Paul Davis is committed to providing extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Our team is highly qualified and trained to handle each situation with care and professionalism. When disaster strikes, call Paul Davis. We are here to help. 312-329-1140 or pauldavisrockhill.com.
Save on your monthly mortgage payment with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage from Founders Federal Credit Union. Take advantage of low rates while they're still around, and you'll also have no private mortgage insurance costs. The application process is easy, and your mortgage is serviced completely by Founders and always stays with us. Relax, you're home. For more, visit foundersfcu.com/30. Membership qualification required. Credit evaluation, underwriting requirements, terms and conditions apply. Institutions, NMLS identifier number 410646.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
Hit the spot, definitely.
Friends are great, and the company's great, and the food is fantastic. Bread's fresh, and they make my special for me every day.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And welcome back into our Straight Talk broadcast. Teresa Creech is with us today. She is the executive director and is educating me more than I thought anyone would when I came through the door. She's with the Early Learning Partnership of York County. So let me get to the bottom line. You were talking about all these things, but what about skills?
Right.
We're forming these young skulls full of mush, as my friend the late Rush Limbaugh used to say. Skills.
Yeah, and they're not so full of mush after all, are they?
No, ma'am.
Right. So first and foremost, as the parent or the caregiver, you are the most important voice to that child. Parents are the best teacher. And,
true.
You know, they build their whole world around your voice and that trust that they can find in your voice. So that's the first thing I would say is, realize that you're that important to that child and, you know, be excited about that, right? Because you're developing that child's brain. And babies, they learn language like day by day. Like they just take it in, like I said earlier about the sponge, right? So just keep using words. They don't have to know the meaning as a young child. They just are growing by hearing different sounds, and the vocabulary is just taking off. So the more that they hear, the more that you read to them, they will grow into better students by the time they reach school, and that's scientifically proven, right?
Okay.
The more words they hear.
Which is very important.
Right, right. Read often. We like to say read early and daily.
Okay.
If you can just spend a few minutes, build it into your routine. If you're having, if they're having a meltdown, right, those lovely tantrums of the terrible twos or whatever, you know, just build books into that. Maybe tell them they just need a little time out and give them a book and let them sit and calm themselves. Maybe you need a time out. So maybe you take a book and put the child on your lap and just read to them. It's a really good way to regulate your emotions. And then when it comes time to just do nap time, you know, put books on the bed or in the crib. It's okay. Like, it's all right if they just surround themselves with books.
Okay.
Right? So that's another easy one. Build it into the routine. Do that bedtime story at night.
All right.
Most of all, have fun. Just have fun.
Yeah, there's not enough of that these days,
right.
Is there?
Life is stressful. Being a parent's hard. Enjoy, make the funny, silly sounds, make the goofy faces, and just have fun with your child. And before you know it, like maybe you'll just be having fun too, right? Because they're going to take their cues from you. And if you're really happy and silly and making funny sounds and funny faces, they're going to do it back to you. They're going to mirror that.
Okay.
Right? So that's always good.
Well,
and then, you know, like I said earlier, babies are wiggly. It's okay. If you think that, oh my gosh, I didn't get through the book because he wiggled off my lap or my toddler's running around the room, it's okay.
Yeah.
You can still say words and use vocabulary and talk about colors. It's fine. They don't have to sit there.
So this is essentially how parents should interact, but especially new parents, first-time parents. I mean, that's, my God, that's like the weight of the world suddenly on your shoulders where, you know,
right.
As we all know.
And you don't ever outgrow reading with your child. True. I mean, you can do that up to middle school, right, if they'll let you. Or maybe you decide as a family, okay, we're going to read this book together, and you kind of take turns reading a chapter. Or it's a fun activity, and it does pay off in dividends, right, because it makes that emotional connection and that trust.
Okay. Tell me what the Early Learning Partnership of your county needs. What do you need?
Oh, well, an easy thing is we do need donated books.
Yeah.
Because those are the books we like to put in the laundromat and little free libraries out in our communities and share with people that don't have books. We also just can use a simple donation, right? Doesn't have to be a lot. A lot of times I think people don't donate because they don't think they're donating enough. But if you give us $5, we can buy a book that will impact a child.
Something as little as $5. Did I hear that right?
We'll take more than that.
Well, of course.
Right?
We'd like more than that.
Right, but a simple $3, $4, $5 buys a book for a child. So you can go on our website.
Which is?
It's www.elpofyorkcounty.org. You can find us on all social media channels. And there's a donate button. And feel free to just make a donation. You can also just call us. You'll see on our webpage our contact us information. You can mail in a check. Our address is on the webpage. You can do it however you like.
So you've covered all the bases there.
Exactly.
www.elpofyorkcounty.com. Is that right?
.org.
.org. Very important. Yes. .org. Okay. All right. ELPofyourcounty.org. Well, in our final couple of minutes, which we have about three left, is there anything that I'm missing? I mean, volunteers. Obviously, you have a need for volunteers.
Yeah. If anyone out there wants to do like a book drive for us, that would be really helpful.
Okay.
We also do a thing called Coins for Kids Literacy. So if you're involved with a group and you just want to do a change collection, pass a bucket, we take that. We would love to have volunteer readers, but due to the pandemic, we're on hold with that.
Are we ever going to get out of this bloody pandemic and start to do this again?
We're going to keep getting those books to all the children we can.
Because I want to come read a book, you know.
I know.
I mean, you got me all charged up here now, and now you tell me I can't do it because of a stupid pandemic.
Read to those grandchildren.
Well, that I do.
That I do.
All right. Okay. Well, when they get this pandemic thing out of the way, all right, my hand's up. I want to come do it.
That sounds great. We'll love to have you.
I'd be honored to do it, indeed. And, of course, you've talked about the Coins for Kids, and reading's important. You have book sponsorships at $30 a month. Tell me about that quickly. What is that about? Is that right? Am I misreading that? Should I put on my glasses?
No, I was just saying, for $30 a month, generally that buys about a year's worth of books
really?
For a child. Yeah. I mean, because we'll order them in such volume. But last year, just as an example, we distributed almost 40,000 books.
Whoa!
Yeah, like it was close to, actually more like 37,000, 36,800 and some books.
Wow.
Yeah. Every year we're close to 40,000 books distributed throughout York County. And that's a lot of books.
That is a lot of books.
We have a storage unit for those books.
Okay.
Yeah, so a donation would help us pay for that storage unit.
All right. Well, there you go then, folks. You can just go right online there. Website again is elpofyorkcounty.org. Teresa Creech, it's been an absolute delight and an education. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Just be sure to keep on reading.
Oh, absolutely. There you go. We'll make that the final word. Straight Talk, as always, brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax. You're with Founders. And, of course, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. As always, we broadcast Straight Talk from Substation 2 here on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, right across from Winthrop University. They make fresh subs and salads right before your very eyes 6 days a week. And the magical way they do it is
slice,
garden. Manny Kimmel back with you tomorrow. Have a great day, won't you?